The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Nothing but truth here every day. Nothing but truth here today for certain. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to Truth News Network. Have you ever said anything like this when you were a kid? You got in an argument with a brother or sister or friend in the neighborhood, and you went back and forth, and it ended up with this: I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Remember Pee-wee's Great Adventure? Remember Pee-wee Herman? Remember he and his friend Francis at the very beginning of the movie? Francis wanted Pee-wee's bike. And Francis had money his dad had told him he could have to buy anything he wanted, and he wanted Pee-wee's bike. He confronted Pee-wee on the street, and Pee-wee told Francis, in no uncertain terms, my bike's not for sale.
I wouldn't sell my bike for all the money in the world, not for $100 billion, $1 trillion.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No way. Knock it off.
Cut it out.
Oh, shut up, Pee-wee.
Why don't you make me?
Why don't you make me?
Because I don't make monkeys. I just train them.
You can't help but chuckle. Pee-wee's Great Adventure. What a funny, funny movie. Well, you know, that's where the title for today's show comes from. I know you are, but what am I? That sounds eerily familiar to what we're witnessing in Washington, D.C. You know, folks, America is bleeding reason. Reason of all types. Whether in politics, in the media, entertainment, athletics, religion, or education, having differences is common. But serious attempts to find resolution with others regarding those differences seem to be long gone. Political bipartisanship, it's a lost art. The culture of recognizing differences of all kinds with others and working collectively for resolution disappeared in America in the 80s. It began with the loss of fundamental understanding of how to even start a reconciliation process, yet alone try to work through any conflicts. Remember President Reagan and House Speaker Tip O'Neill? The Massachusetts Democrat was a firebrand, but so was the president. The government was deeply divided, an eerily similar congressional divide as we see today. A slim GOP Senate majority, with Democrats firmly in control of the House of Representatives. Now, as both sides grapple with a Grand Canyon-sized political divide, some are looking to the O'Neill and Reagan model for guidance. You have to develop the relationship before bipartisanship, says moderate Virginia Representative Frank Wolf, who was one of 54 Republicans swept into office with Reagan in his election in 1980. A lot of it was done after hours. They got together, they broke bread, they told stories, and they did things that I think helped us do things to make some accomplishments, says Wolf. But alas, I doubt we will ever see Speaker Pelosi and President Trump sharing a cozy dinner or even an occasional nightcap at the White House. Today's divide and resulting political animus have unfortunately tainted the discourse between Americans of all descriptions. O'Neill and Reagan got together often, not to badger each other about their differences, but to recognize those differences and then discuss solutions. They always sought solutions. As argumentative was Speaker O'Neill, so too was President Reagan. But here's the difference between then and now. The objective then was never, it's my way or the highway. each understood and accepted that there were always differences. Each understood and accepted that there always were possible solutions. But more importantly, both were driven by one thing only, the necessity of finding compromise sufficient to implement policies that, while addressing the issues of either side, always put the nation and its citizens' welfare first. And each outcome rarely contained demands for political power for either's advantage. That quest for advantage and power consumes all congressional negotiations, either among House and Senate members themselves or including the White House. It's that way every day. Why is that? Well, we'll detail that answer in our summary, but let's examine what is lost, besides common sense in all this, time and taxpayer money. It's bad enough that Congress is barely in session throughout the year. They justify that, you know, they're never there, with, I have to spend time in my district or state because I represent the people up here in D.C. That's a total cop-out. They know what their constituents want regarding every issue. In today's electronic 24/7 instant media environment, every member is inundated with their constituents' thoughts on every key issue. Their being out of session in D.C. so much is about maintaining D.C. status and raising campaign dollars, period. While they're away from Washington, the extensive cost of congressional operations simply continue. U.S. Capitol operating expenses, congressional office staff and office operations, hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. And nothing gets done. Don't forget about taxpayer payment for congressional travel. Oh, sure, most of the junkets, like the one taken to the Caribbean by Democrats during that partial government shutdown, are paid by lobbyists, which in my opinion is campaign fraud, but most of their travel costs come from taxpayers. And obviously, while away from D.C., basking in the sun on the beach in Puerto Rico or elsewhere, they're not doing what they were hired by Americans to do. Legislate. Just how much does Congress cost to run, incidentally? Well, the latest estimated cost to taxpayers are $5.75 billion each year. You do the math. Got 535 members of Congress. That means the cost is $10.75 million per member of Congress annually. Can you imagine any scenario in which Speaker Pelosi would introduce for floor debate legislation to rein in congressional spending and waste? You know, spending and waste on themselves. Not going to happen, but it certainly should. And her counterpart in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, certainly is not planning on doing that either. Well, congressional camaraderie just got worse. Remember this. Congress gave Reagan fits with investigations. Everything wasn't rosy either. There certainly was political partisanship, especially in Tip O'Neill's House of Representatives. Members from both parties found ways to work together in that partisanship, even during those investigations. Remember the Iran-Contra affair? Put Google to work where you have some time and watch or read some of those hearing minutes. They were contentious, but they were real investigations. Not so in this new Democrat House. Here's what the next 2 years in Congress will be consumed with. Investigations. Partisan investigations. And those investigations are piling up, even while we're sharing this time together today. If it seems like new ones are being announced every day, that's because they are. In fact, February 27th, we saw three new investigations crop up. Early that day, House Oversight Committee Chair Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, sent a letter to the White House announcing an investigation into the Trump team's shoddy handling of the security clearance process. Just a couple hours later, House Foreign Affairs Chairman Elliot Engel, Democrat of New York, said his committee will look into whether Trump's tangled network of business dealings are influencing foreign policy decisions. It's a logical choice for an investigation. We already know Democrats claim Trump's D.C. hotel is a conduit for foreign money, particularly Saudi Arabian money, to make its way to Trump. That's what the allegation is. Are there any facts of that? Believe me, I'm pretty sure if there were, it'd be all over the New York Times and the Washington Post. They maintain Trump is willing to go easy on the Saudis even after the murder of Jamal Khashoggi was allegedly ordered by that country's crown prince. That same day, we learned that House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, that we have given you a bunch of information about in the last few weeks, and House Financial Services Chair Maxine Waters, also Democrat from California, are teaming up to dig into Deutsche Bank. Democrats feel there's Trump blood in the water there being Deutsche Bank, given that special counsel Robert Mueller has already subpoenaed the bank for its records related to Trump and his family. Schiff says the bank is an obvious place to start in examining whether the Trump organization laundered money. Deutsche Bank was recently fined several hundred million dollars for helping the Russians launder money. Additionally, that bank made numerous business loans to the Trump organization. So, you know, where there's money, there's corruption. At least so thinks Adam Schiff. Here's the one that Americans knew was coming, but most still shake their heads hearing about it. Schiff said the investigation will include the scope and scale of Russian intervention in the 2016 presidential election, the extent of any links and or coordination between Russians and Trump's associates, whether foreign actors have sought to hold leverage over Trump or his family and associates, and whether anyone has sought to obstruct any of the relevant investigations. Forget about the Democrat adoration for that bastion of investigatory perfection who spent so far about $50 million U.S. dollars doing just what Schiff is planning to do over again. Forget the Democrats threaten anyone who even frowned at Robert Mueller, especially President Trump. And Schiff was chief among those. He's doing the same thing that he wanted to make sure nobody else did. House Democrats are opening an investigation into what they say are abuses of power by President Trump through his attacks on the courts, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the media. That according to a House official familiar with the plans. Topics for the inquiry will include Trump's public humiliation of former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Listen, folks, they're going to investigate that. I can save them a bunch of time and a bunch of money, just tell you this. Trump didn't like the fact that Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Hillary email investigation or the Russian investigation from the beginning, and that Jeff Sessions didn't tell him he was going to do that when he was going to appoint him as his attorney general. And so as far as public humiliation, it started from the beginning and Sessions instigated it. They're going to check also his attacks on actions by the liberal Ninth Circuit Court and his abuse of reporters as dishonest and enemies of the people, said the person who asked for anonymity to discuss sensitive matters. Of course, anonymous sources. Incidentally, the president never called the press enemies of the people. He called those that perpetrate fake news. He says over and over again, fake news, enemies of the people. And those are just the beginning, folks. Just how many meetings do you think those Democrat committee chairmen had with their Republican counterparts, you know, like President Reagan and Tip O'Neill got together, coordinating those pending investigations to assure maximum results for Americans, minding the use of their time and our money in the process. How many meetings you think they had? Not one. And they spent not 1 minute reaching out. Dollars? Add another billion or so to the cost of operating Congress each of the next 2 years. We'll call it Investigation Gate. The fundamental flaw of all these investigations is exactly as that in the Mueller probe. Typically in law enforcement investigations, a crime or some wrong, if it's a civil matter, occurs. Officials examine that crime or wrong, obtain evidence of every kind to determine its scope, its origin, the intentions of perpetrators of that crime or wrong, and hopefully from those will determine the identity of the wrongdoer. Robert Mueller started an ugly trend. He works backwards, and so is the Democratic Congress. No crimes or wrongdoing initiated these investigations. Think about it. All of them we just told you about and the ones still to come. There is no crime. There's no wrongdoing that instigated these investigations. Instead, Mueller, Adam Schiff and company have determined who the perpetrator is before they even have determined there's a crime. Who's the perpetrator? Donald Trump. These investigations are not to track a wrongdoer for committing a wrong. They are to find or create some criminal act committed by this president. And if they find something, their political careers and lives will be complete. Let me ask you this. Does anybody else but me smell something foul in that philosophy? Just being plain. I think it stinks. We're going to pull all this together in just a minute. You stay right there. We'll be right back at truthnewsnet.org.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hard to hear the truth, but if the truth will set us free, we'd rather enjoy freedom. TNN, the Truth News Network. Again, Dan Newman.
We told you we would talk about the why in our summary. For the why, we must begin right here. There is no verified crime or wrong exposed to justify initiating these investigations. The reason for doing so must be one thing and one thing only, to somehow, through what is found, if anything, put President Trump in the House impeachment process. I know. That sounds ridiculous. Do you know why? Because it is ridiculous. Just imagine what the U.S. government would have looked like in 1984 if House Speaker Tip O'Neill had simply started a dozen or so investigations into President Reagan with no evidence of any crimes or wrongdoing. Honestly, that Congress would have not done this. But if they did, the American people would have revolted. But the main reason was that Americans were still unified, still respected the office of the president and who was in it, and expected all elected officials to abide by the rule of law while working for the American people, crafting legislation. What a unique idea. We'd all pass out if that's what this Congress did. What happened during the last administration is Washington leadership devolved into a petty partisan operating system in which all reason and all accountability to the American electorate were abandoned. And that started at the very top. Truth was abandoned. Integrity was non-existent because it was deemed unnecessary. The rule of law and respect for leadership were banished to Gilligan's Island. all-consuming power and its pursuit devoured our government. And it's still doing it. It's alive and well today. Want an example? I'm going to tell you something that happened, and probably nobody listening knows this actually went on just recently. House Speaker Pelosi and a delegation of U.S. lawmakers were just in Brussels, Belgium, to convince European heads they had control amid the uncertainty around transatlantic relations. Pelosi claimed the U.S. president is not all-powerful while in those meetings in Europe. The House Speaker used her recent standoff over the government shutdown as some sort of evidence that, listen closely, she has power over the president. Further evidence of this pervasive evil gripping our country is what we see and hear in the media. Formerly nonpartisan news is almost nothing more than propaganda today, and news reporters long ago devolved into nothing more than opinionists who demand those who read, watch, and listen to their mantra accept it as gospel simply because they're the ones that are giving it to us. And 90% of their gospel, as rated by several nonpartisan organizations, is garbage when it's vetted. Remember Peter Jennings? He worked the desk at ABC Evening News during Reagan's two terms. I was a huge fan of his. I loved his voice. I loved his delivery. But I love that he never once, that I can recall, made a single negative remark, editorial comment, or read a partisan story about any politician, Democrat or Republican. When he discussed issues, it was always issue-related. He never denigrated people. And by the way, in case you forgot about this, at the relighting of the Statue of Liberty, you remember when it was completely remodeled and they had the big ceremony? It was nationally televised. Jennings openly cried after Sandy Patty sang the Star Spangled Banner. I thought that was really classy. And he was a Canadian. In closing today, here's what I want to do. I want to dream a little. So here are my dreams. Pelosi and Schumer will call for meetings with the president during the next 2 years. Also, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy will be in those meetings. They will all mutually commit to regular policy conversations about every legislative issue. In those meetings, they will each present their ideas about every pending piece of legislation. Then they will each amicably and honestly discuss specifics of reasons why each legislative matter is or is not acceptable. They will in every case find consensus on every issue, even if and when the end product is not what they each desired. You know, that my way or the highway? They will discuss truthfully, separately and together, in total honesty, the details of any good results of implemented laws and policies. You know, the ones they've already put in place, kind of like we have now, where nobody will give this president credit for anything. Lowest unemployment numbers in history. A really good GDP, stock market zooming, income going up, taxes going down, you know, those kind of things. They will separately and together, in total honesty, discuss the details of any bad results of those same or other items. That would be a change. They will never publicly denigrate each other or the offices they separately hold. Wow, that's like a Christmas dream list. Let's be honest. Reagan made some bonehead mistakes while he was in office, his 8 years. Bush 41 did in his 4. Clinton, Bush 43, Obama, all made bonehead decisions, made bonehead mistakes while they were in office. And this president, the same thing. We all have our opinions about things they did and things they're doing, and things they did not or have not done. We all have political perspectives. Recognizing our differences should be just the start. Objectively discussing those differences as only steps to find reconciliation of those differences into positive outcomes should be the only end result we hope to achieve. Everyone in D.C. needs to take a hard look in the mirror. They all need to pull out some history books and revisit past governments' methods of reaching governing consensus. That is not happening in this government, and it didn't in at least the last three most previous governments. We owe at least that to the next generation, so they can know something other than political partisanship. Our kids' generation, the one right now, they've never seen anything but that in American politics. How can we expect them to build this nation into something greater without learning how to resolve differences for the common good? Hey, if Pee-wee and Francis, his buddy, could do that in Pee-wee's Great Adventure, we certainly can. We definitely should. Thanks for joining me here today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our family at Truth News Network. We'll be back. You sit tight till then. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.